The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guest on Off the Shelf is Soraya Correa. Soraya is the Chief Procurement Officer at the Department of Homeland Security. And Soraya, it's great to see you.
It's good to see you, Roger.
Yeah,
thank
welcome
you for
to
having
the show.
Me.
I'm looking forward to this conversation. It's been a while.
Yes, it has. We go back a bit.
I don't want to age myself. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. A wide-ranging set of issues. Just going over your background, the various things that you've done in your career is really quite impressive. Right off the bat, I wanted to get your thoughts. I know you've been in acquisition operations, acquisition policy leadership, like right now at DHS, but also you've been on the program management side as well. And that's kind of to me, that's a unique background. Just off the top, sometimes we look at, program management folks and acquisition folks as two separate tribes that don't talk to each other, right? So
that's true.
I just want to get your thoughts about leadership of those two types of organizations and, how to improve the communication coordination between the two. So I'm going to open it up to you. Go right ahead.
Yeah, well,
have
thank
at
you.
It. I know First you will.
First of all, thank you. That's a great question, by the way. So one of the reasons that I started my career in procurement, as you know, and I've been in this business for 35 years, and I've gone from program management to procurement and back to program management and back to procurement. And I've enjoyed both jobs. When people ask me which one did I prefer, I say they're both really good. And what's interesting is how intertwined they actually are, because we're both still trying to achieve the mission. And I think what needs to happen a little bit more is that we have to be communicating a little bit more frequently and a little bit more proactively in the planning stages of the acquisition. So when a program manager has an idea that they want to go out and buy something, or they're putting together a budget, that's when you bring your procurement people in. And so that's one of the conversations that I'm trying to change across government, but especially at DHS, to make sure that our procurement community is engaged very early and often with our program management personnel, working hand in hand to develop the right solutions for the department. This isn't just about writing contracts. It's really about delivering exceptional results, about writing really good solutions, coming up with the best solution to meet the agency's needs. So that's my view on program management procurement. I think they're closely intertwined. I think leadership has to emphasize that relationship, that collaboration, that working together and coming together to achieve the best goals.
Right. Well, in that regard, when you're listening to that advice, very, very sage advice, is, I was thinking just that the requirements, the program office, the one who sort of holds the requirements, that informs the entire process, right? That informs the solution.
Exactly.
But also from an acquisition perspective, I get your thoughts on this, it informs how you go about acquiring it. What's your acquisition strategy? What type of contract you use? All those kind of things. It is, they're dependent upon each other.
Exactly. And it also, a very important piece that I'm trying to bring to the table, and my predecessor also worked on this, and I've expanded on some of his thoughts on industry and government communications. Very often in the planning process, when we're doing our market research, we should be doing this together, because I want to encourage our program managers to reach out to industry and better understand what industry is doing out there, what are the new approaches and features and technologies that might be available that they should be considering, and getting feedback from industry on how we might be able to better structure our strategy, our solicitation. So by bringing the two groups together and collaborating with our friends in legal, our friends even in finance, and industry.
I said lawyers, friends? I don't know.
I have a lot of good friends. I'm not just kidding. But by bringing the team together, really forming that integrated project team and getting out there and talking to industry very early in the process, giving them an opportunity to share with us what they know, what they understand, and how we might be able to acquire it better, we're going to come up with better solutions. We might make smarter buys. We're going to be probably far more efficient at the tail end of the process when we really need to be. So that's the other thing that I want to encourage, what I call really good planning, where we really understand the market. We understand how the market behaves, what's going to drive competition, what's going to drive good pricing. pricing and good solutions. If we really want innovation, how are we going to ask for that innovation? How are we going to evaluate it? So I look at this as like a team sport, right? We've got to get all the right players in the right position. If we get them in early, we can strategize and do a great job.
Yeah, and is that part of, you know, I know one of the things I've heard you talk about with regard to DHS is the idea, the concept of, and I think it's unity of effort,
correct,
right? And one DHS, is that what you just described? But it's also, you know, we know DHS is many, many different organizations who have had many, many different cultures, right? And
correct,
acquisition approaches. So
yeah,
can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Unity of effort is Secretary Johnson's initiative to remind everyone that each of the individual parts of DHS have their mission, but we come together as a team to address the overall DHS mission. And all of us in each office can do the same thing. And that's the concept. I'm applying it from a procurement standpoint, but it applies to every line of business that we have. That we can come together, pull our counterparts in, and work together and collaborate it. Because when we come together, when we unify our efforts, that's when we're really going to deliver the best results for the mission we're trying to achieve. So it is about coming together, but remembering that we each have our individual parts, that we each do our piece.
Right.
And that's what we bring to the table, that expertise. And when we come together as a team, we're going to solve the problems. We're going to come up with great solutions in great ways. And like I said, that does include industry in the planning stage, believe it or not.
But, you know, it strikes me it is such a Herculean effort to take, you know, the creation of DHS initially and to try to pull, I don't know how many it was, 21 or something like
22.
That. 22. I was close. Okay.
Yeah.
Different organizations together into one. You know, that is a generational change in a lot of ways when you stop to think about it. You know, and I guess from that perspective, you know, what have you seen over your time just in DHS generally as to how, you know, the organization has evolved?
So I think DHS has actually done a pretty good job. As much as there are many people out there that like to criticize, the reality is if you could compare us to some of these large corporations and when they're buying and merging, I think we've done a pretty good job comparatively, especially since we didn't have that experience, right?
Right.
I fortunately have been in the department for a while because I was there from day one. Yeah. I transferred in from Immigration and Naturalization Service. And my first job was head of contracting Immigration and Customs Enforcement during the infancy phase. Then I moved to headquarters to the Office of Procurement Operations, which is now one of the divisions that I oversee. And then I had the opportunity to go to U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services back in a program role. And what I can tell you is I've seen a shift. We still all retain our individual cultures. We have law enforcement. We have some intelligence.
Sure.
We have a little bit of everything there. And I think that's good. And I think that that's wholesome. And that's what you really want. You want that individual culture. We should be proud of the things that we do. But I also see a pride in the overall DH mission. I see us coming together a lot better. And we're evolving our processes and procedures. And is everything perfect? No, everything is not perfect. But here's what I will say. I'm so impressed by the dedication and the commitment of the men and women of DHS. People come to this agency for the mission. They really do.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the single biggest thing that helps us come together. I think we do overall a pretty good job, but like any huge bureaucracy, we're going to run into problems and we're going to find places where we maybe have to fix some things. But we focus on that. We fix it. Our leadership is committed to the mission that we have and committed to the people that deliver on that mission. When we say employee engagement at DHS, it's not words. It's what we feel. It's what we believe as leaders, that the people is what makes us successful.
Yeah. And it is. I mean, you know, I was in government at the time and just to watch the process and taking a look at it and just in the acquisition sense with all those disparate organizations and trying to pull them together, it is an amazing effort to this point.
I
really do. And it's across administrations.
It's
quite
you,
remarkable, actually. People should stop and appreciate what's been accomplished.
Exactly. I give a lot of credit to the chief procurement officers before me. All of them, I actually worked for every single one of them. That's amazing, isn't it? But I actually worked for each one of them. And from the very beginning, we tried to unify the procurement team. We knew that we had, you know, seven individual components out there with their own procurement organizations. But we came as a team because we had a huge mission to fulfill, and we had to find ways to try to be a little bit more consistent, a little bit more proactive. We stood up our strategic sourcing program right away.
Right.
We brought in probably one of the foremost experts on small business to run our Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. And so we've had huge successes in those areas because we know those are the ways that you promote efficiency. Those are the way you move the agency forward.
Well, and Soraya, we're up on the first break. So my guest today is Soraya Correa. She is the Chief Procurement Officer at the Department of Homeland Security. And when we come back, we'll start to get into some of her vision for her office and the acquisition professionals at the DHS, the overall strategic vision, your goals, that sort of thing. I'm looking forward to having that conversation. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This is an important time for the federal government, a chance for agencies to do things differently. How will you help shape your future? Turn to Deloitte. With our private sector insight and public sector experience, we'll help you rethink, reduce, and restructure, and turn resolve into results, so you can see what's possible and make it happen. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Soraya Correa. She is the Chief Procurement Officer at the Department of Homeland Security. And Soraya, this segment, I want to, because you have hit the ground running, right? Just about a year almost, right?
A little over a year,
A little over a year since you've been in your current position, and there's been a lot going on. So I really think our listeners would be interested in hearing about, you know, your strategic or the strategic vision for DHS acquisition in your office in particular. So I'm just going to open up and you can start in and we'll go from there.
Well, thank you. So like I mentioned before, I'm no stranger to the Chief Procurement Officer's office because I actually worked there as one of the division leads, and I've been in and out of the procurement business at DHS over the last 13 years as our agency has developed. So when I came in, I established my vision statement, and in short, it's about having innovative and flexible business advisors delivering mission-driven solutions for our customers. And what that really means is I don't want to talk about writing contracts. I want to talk about effective business solutions. I want to talk about us partnering with our program officials, with the people who write the requirements, to make sure that we understand what their needs are and that we drive the solution in the right direction to get the right product, right service delivered on time for the best price for the government. And that has always been my focus, both as a program manager, as a contracting officer, and now as a leader of the organization. And to accompany that vision, I've laid out four specific goals. I talk about inspiring and motivating the people, inspiring and motivating all the members of the acquisition community, and that does include industry, to be the very best, to want to deliver this mission, to want to be innovative and creative and take a few risks. The second strategic priority I've laid out is delivering exceptional results. Some people would like to say writing good contracts. I like to say delivering exceptional results, because it's not just about writing a good contract.
Right.
It's about making sure that that contract delivers at the end of the day, and that the relationship is solid between the contract and the government.
Right, because you could literally write the perfect contract,
exactly.
But if the outcome doesn't meet the customer's needs, that contract has failed, right?
Has failed, that's right. So it's not just about putting together a really good contract, but it's carrying it all the way through and making sure we deliver. The third strategic priority is enhancing mission capabilities. Through the contracts and the orders that we write, we can sometimes make sure that we address mission needs. An example that I'll give you on that, cyber hygiene. We develop some language to include in our contracts to make sure that we protect the information that we put in the hands of our contractors. That's an example of enhancing mission capabilities, teaming with my counterparts in privacy, CIO, et cetera, to see how we write that contract more effectively to address the needs of the department.
Now, and that cyber hygiene, that's become sort of a model, government-wide,
yep,
right?
We've shared it with our fellow federal agencies, and we've implemented them in our contracts, and we continue to refine our processes and approaches because this is a really important area, as you can tell by all the news that's out there.
And you, in that context, you, the input from industry was invaluable for that, right?
So what we did, we were trying to address, when I came in, they had already started working on this in fiscal year 2014. I had a team in my office that was already working on it. And when I came in January 2015, we were close to crossing the finish line. So what we did was we pressure tested it with some of our contractors that do background investigations. I immediately pulled a team together and said, let's talk about these kinds of requirements, and if I include them in a contract, what's the impact on you? And this is what I mean about engaging industry,
sure,
which leads
absolutely
to my fourth strategic priority, which is about promoting meaningful communications. And it's meaningful communications across the spectrum. It's how we talk to one another in the government, whether it's the program office, the legal counsel, the budget manager, whoever it is, as well as how
we
engage.
Those lawyers again.
I got to bring them in. I got to bring them in because they're part of the team. You know
right,
that, right?
Yeah.
Besides that, you're a lawyer. Right. Just kidding. I'm just teasing you, Roger.
That's okay.
I'm just teasing you. But in reality, it is about how the team communicates with each other, how we communicate with industry. But here's the other one, how we communicate with our stakeholders, whether it's the IG, the GAO, or the Hill. The more we can help people understand what we're trying to do and how we're doing it, and we learn from one another, I think the more effective that we can be. So that's one of the campaigns that I've really been hitting hard, and I have.
So I have to ask you, it's like, you know, in the idea of, you know, some of your thoughts on, you know, dealing with those stakeholders. I think people in the, you know, people, I guess, outside who don't deal with the government, I think a lot of contractors understand it, but. You know, there's so many different stakeholders involved in every program.
Yep.
You could literally do like, you know, a diagram and just have like boxes all over the place, or
exactly,
circles, and they're overlapping. And about the whether it's the IG, the Hill, the program office, you know, your leadership within the program office, there's different stakeholders who have mm-hmm. different agenda. I mean, it's amazing. So, you know, do you have any thoughts on what's been your keys to your success in dealing with those stakeholders?
So, two things I believe have led to my success. One, I've taken the time to understand who they are, to really, you know, try to understand the organization,
that's
you know,
a great point.
Knowing who privacy is and understanding who the chief security yep. officer is and what are his interests, right?
Yep.
Or her interests. Understanding the CFO's office. In fact, I actually worked in a CFO's office for a while. So it's really about understanding all your different stakeholders. And that's the job of leadership. That's really my job as the leader of the organization, to build those relationships so that I can collaborate at those levels and we get the right people to the table. And it's the same with the IGs and the GAOs. They got a job to do. At the end of the day, you know, you can either try to resist them or you could try to join them and see if we can talk to one another.
Yeah.
They're still going to do their job, and I'm not trying to influence how they do their job, but I think that if I do a better job of communicating our business processes
sure.
and the things that we're trying to do, then we make that relationship work better, and they have a better understanding when they're looking at us. Similar with the Hill. Sometimes I think communications is probably the hardest thing that we do, and it's the easiest thing to fix. We just got to talk to one another. And if I have time, I'd like to give you an example.
Sure, absolutely. Go ahead.
I recently did, last year, what we called a reverse industry day. And I invited people from across my acquisition community, program managers, IT specialists, as well as contracting officers and contract specialists. And what I did was I went out and reached out to some of these industry associations and said, we'd like for you guys to get up in front of us and tell us what drives you, what causes you to decide to bid or not to bid. Why are you asking for certain pieces of information, and when do you need them, and why do you need them? Educate us. I got a 97% approval rating from the participants, our people, for being there. It was one of the first sessions. It was an all-day session. It was one of the first times that I rarely saw people looking at their BlackBerries or their phones during the conversation. It was very engaging, and we learned a lot about what makes industry tick.
Taking a lot of notes.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and we're going to do it again.
Right? When people are taking notes, you know it's been a valuable meeting. Right?
But here's the real thing that really impressed me. I had like probably four or five program managers come up to me and said, you got to do more of this stuff. This
right.
is great. I get it now. Now I understand why you're saying we should be getting out there early and often and talking to industry, because this is how we're going to push the competition and learn what's out there. So we're going to be doing that again. But that's an example of meaningful communications, not just us being a bunch of talking heads to industry, but
right.
us hearing from industry and taking some of that feedback and understanding what motivates them and how we can better structure our documents, our conversations with them, our planning sessions. So that's an example. But promoting meaningful conversations is key. And it's about the entire spectrum, including our very own people.
Right.
So one of the things that I've done is I look at, even though I don't directly supervise all of the 1,500 people across the DHS spectrum that do procurement, I am responsible for them. I delegate authority to mm-hmm. them. So I see them as a community. So late last year, I held the first ever CPO town hall. We'd never done that before. I actually got on a webinar and we went out and we talked uh-huh. to all of our employees. And I had my entire HCA Heads of Contracting Activity Council. So I had all the component heads of contracting activity with me. And we talked about what we do and why we do it. And I shared with them my vision and my strategic priorities. And I plan on doing that semi-annually because I think it's good for the staff to hear directly from right. the leadership that's there. But more importantly, it's good for them to hear all the successes that are going on right. across the spectrum of the community.
Yeah, you get some lessons learned there, but also it's about building like the team, the camaraderie. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's the word I was going to use. You know what, Soraya, we're already up on the next break. Man, it's going fast. But I will mention one thing. What you described, that stakeholder, the thing that kept coming to my mind is credibility. And you got to have credibility that you're talking. That's what you're talking about there. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about dealing with your stakeholders, whether they're oversight folks or the folks who are your customer. So, and when we come back, Soraya, I want to start talking about innovation labs.
All right.
That's at DHS. My guest today is Soraya Correa. She is the Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Homeland Security. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The mission of government involves critical efforts to improve national defense, economic security, health services, and citizens' lives. The strategy and technology consultants of Booz Allen Hamilton are proud to help government address cyber threats, reform the financial system, modernize infrastructure, and protect our nation. For nearly 100 years, Booz Allen has partnered with clients to deliver results that endure. To see Booz Allen's ideas in action, visit BoozAllen.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Soraya Correa. She is the Chief Procurement Officer at the Department of Homeland Security. And we've been talking strategic vision, goals, the evolution of the Department of Homeland Security. And this segment, we are going to talk about innovation labs. Soraya, I mentioned mm-hmm. that in the tease, but I wanted to quickly, we closed the last segment talking about reverse industry days. And just a little bit more on that. I know I think you're looking at planning another one.
Yes.
And just if there's other things that you're doing with regard to outreach to industry, that'd be
sure.
great to hear.
So a couple of things. So when I came on board as part of the Unity of Effort initiative, I stood up my own initiative called Acquisition Innovations in Motion. And what that focuses on is how do we improve business processes? How are we more innovative in our buying and our business processes? And then how do we better engage with industry? And I have three types of industry engagements that I host. One is at the strategic level where we talk about the vision of DHS. The second one is where we talk requirements across the spectrum. So an example of that would be like a biometrics requirement, but across the enterprise that is DHS. Again, very strategically focused. And then learning events. Those are the events that I host. Reverse Industry Day is a learning event. And the idea behind that is let's get industry and government together and let's learn from one another. We are doing this with debriefings. We actually host debriefing events at least once a year where we bring in industry partners to tell us how we're doing on debriefings, to learn what they've seen as what are the best practices out there, as well as they can work with us. We actually have industry participate in our training to critique our employees. Another one that we did last year around May was what we called the RFP-RFI Industry Roundtable, where I had program managers and CIOs host a series of roundtables, and I had contract specialists and other folks there with industry to talk about how we can improve those documents, how we can better consider those documents. And one of the last ones that I'll mention was just a couple of weeks ago, we hosted an event to talk about consumption-based pricing and as-a-service pricing. Because, we have a lot of talk out here about shared services, but I'm not always sure that we have good pricing strategies behind those.
Absolutely.
So we brought industry and government together to talk about that. And what we're trying to do is, these aren't one-time events. We try to repeat them at least once a year so that we can refresh the information, make sure that we're incorporating the recommendations that industry gave us, and then going back and asking for feedback on if they're seeing a difference. So really excited about those learning events.
So consumption pricing and mm-hmm. share and as a service pricing. Well, what did How did those discussions go?
They went very well, because what we were looking for was making sure that we had a common definition of what that really meant.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what are the advantages and disadvantages of each? And what are the things that you should be considering from both the industry side as well as the government side? And what are our perceptions of each other when we're talking in these terms? And that's what we got out of it, was how does industry view an as-a-service model, and what do they think about? What goes into their thinking? What kind of information do they need? What is their expectation from us in terms of what we provide, and vice versa? What are we looking for when we're asking for as-a-service pricing? Because I think sometimes, no matter how good we write that solicitation, we sometimes are talking past one another.
Yes, you are, yeah.
So if we can talk without a solicitation in front of us, we might get smarter on the terminology, right? And get it right on the solicitation.
Right.
So Procurement Innovation Lab, because that's like my favorite topic. I'm so excited about
it. Let's go.
So Procurement Innovation Lab. So the single biggest thing I think that stops us from being innovative and creative when we're working on our procurement actions and trying to solve our problems is we've become risk averse. We really have. The fear of the protest, as I call it. And I have a philosophy that I certainly don't want to get protests, and I want to do everything in my power to avoid a protest. But I always tell my staff, don't worry about getting a protest. Worry about winning it. Because that's what I care about, win the protest.
Right.
Make sure that you wrote such a great procurement and documented your files so well that we're going to win no matter what. Because that's what's important. Getting a protest, I don't control that. I can try to do things
right.
to
In
cause
some cases, you're going to get a protest regardless of what you do. It's just the stakes of the procurement are so high.
Exactly. Right. And so let's not lose sleep over that, but let's make sure that we're taking good, intelligent risks if we're going to take them.
It's part of the business we've chosen. Right?
Exactly. So that's what the Procurement Innovation Lab is about. I stood up the Procurement Innovation Lab when I came in to say, contracting officers, program managers, bring me your ideas on how we can streamline the process that is procurement, elements of the process, or processes that surround procurement. How do we do this better, quickly, more efficiently, more effectively? And here's what we're going to do. We have this virtual lab, and we'll take your ideas and we'll flush them out and we'll work with you and we'll bring the teams together and make sure that we talk to all the right players, including legal counsel, to make sure everybody's on board on what we're going to try. And then you're going to get to go off and work that procurement. We're going to monitor how you're doing. And if we run into any pitfalls, we can adjust, you know, along the way. But the biggest thing is I want you to be successful. And I want you to try it. And I want you to try it under my cover. Because if something goes wrong, that'll be my fault. But if it goes well, you got it. It's yours. And guess what you get to do? You get
to
host webinars,
webinars and teach
everybody else how to do it. Because that's the second part of the pill, is we host a series of biweekly webinars where when we have successful experiments, then we put them out there so people can learn from them. So we've done several. We had one procurement that should have taken 6 months in the regular world.
Right.
We had it down to 120 days. We awarded it in 89 days.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
That was great.
And that was a really important procurement in the cybersecurity business. Another example is we've developed some quick, low-risk closeout procedures. Let's close some of those low-risk contracts out quickly and effectively so that we can focus our energies on the high-risk contracts that require more attention.
Right.
Another example that I can give you is on a particular evaluation criteria, technical evaluation criteria. Our one of our CIOs built code with error in it and a list of 10 questions the vendors had to answer. And in the solicitation, we said, you're going to bring your technical team. We're going to give you an hour to analyze the code. And then you're going to come into a room with our evaluators, and you're going to answer these questions. And it was done. 4 hours later, each vendor walked out, and our guys sat down, did their evaluation. They were in and out of that room in a couple of weeks. This is what makes things happen, right?
Right.
And in all this, we had our legal counsel. They're our partners side by side. So I always hear people say, legal's risk averse. But they're risk averse if you don't help them understand. If you bring them in at the tail of the process, you know, if they haven't had an opportunity to explore the idea with you, to work with you, this is back to that collaboration piece.
That's being part of the team.
Exactly.
Like, we have a common goal and get them invested in the process.
Bring your security, your privacy, your legal counsel. Let's all get to the table and let's put our equities on the table.
You got
to
be a psychologist too, right?
Yeah,
You do, right? Right? As a leader, you got to understand people.
And you have to be able to make sure that you understand who has stakes in the game. And again, that's the role of leadership. And if we can do that effectively, we're going to move along much, much better.
So I just a follow-up question. So in those innovation lab, I use the term experiments, I guess, or the prototypes of a process. Is part of it, do you get feedback from every, like 360
all
feedback?
All 360. So I have a gentleman.
Cool. That's good.
I have a small team that runs my innovation lab, and their job is to monitor the process. They report back to me what's going on. We talk about what projects are coming in. The other thing that they do is they go out and interview the participants. Because when you send out a survey form, you'll get a lot of checkboxes, but you might not get a lot of info. They actually sit down and talk to people to get real feedback on what worked, what didn't, what should we do differently. And then we put that into our webinars so that we go out and educate folks. So we've been very successful. The feedback industry has been very good. And we talk to the successful and the unsuccessful offerers. And you'd be surprised, the unsuccessful offerers have actually praised though they didn't win, they've actually praised some of the procurement activities and how we've done them. Because, like they said, we're in and out of there. We're done.
Right.
Time is money.
Right. Exactly. You're going right where I was going to ask you about is because it is an issue of, when companies make significant investments, they're obviously going to make investments to win a procurement. But the more time-consuming and costly a procurement is, you got to think about the person who lost, going back to his or her management and explaining why we lost. And you're then obviously more likely to get a bit protest.
Exactly. So industry really appreciates when we're doing things like this. And they've even thrown some ideas in the queue, indirectly to us. Hey, try this, try that. In fact, yesterday I happened to be talking to some industry counterparts out there, and we've got some stuff getting ready to go into the lab because they gave me some really good ideas.
Oh, good. Great. Great. Soraya, we're already on the next break. Man, this is going really fast. Lots of interesting stuff. My guest today is Soraya Correa. She is the Chief Procurement Officer at the Department of Homeland Security. And when we come back, I think we'll talk a little bit about DHS's outstanding small business contracting record. Also a little bit about, contract duplication and your thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. And then we'll finish up, just get your thoughts on acquisition in general and the changes, that we have seen, I guess, over the last long period of time, or relatively long. Or it's really a short team. It's gone fast.
It's
that's
gone
for sure.
Fast, that's right.
You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Soraya Correa. She is the Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Homeland Security. And Soraya, this segment, we're going to start by talking about, I think, one of the, I know it's talked about, but not enough. DHS's record with regard to small business and the successful performance DHS has had in that arena. So I'm just going to open it up. You can talk about a little bit about what you guys have done, and I think it'd be interesting to hear some of your strategies as an organization to try to that has led to the success in supporting small business.
Sure. Well, thank you for bringing up our small business program, because we're really proud of that accomplishment. So through fiscal year 2014, for 6 years in a row, as one of the big seven agencies, one of the top seven agencies, we've had six A's in a row on our small business scorecard. That means we've exceeded our overall small business goal every year. And in fiscal year 2014, we actually got an A+. Because we actually exceeded all the goals in all the categories. So we're really excited. And fiscal year 2015 looks to be another A. They haven't published the info yet.
Yeah, but let's knock on wood here, right?
Yeah, but we did exceed the goal based on our calculation of the numbers. So we're really excited about that. And I attribute our success to a couple of things. First of all, we have an excellent Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. Kevin Boshears runs that office, and he's been with the department pretty much since the beginning. And he just does an exceptional job in outreach to small businesses, bringing small businesses in to meet with us, the procurement community, as well as having them meet with large businesses. We actually do monthly outreach events where we bring small and large businesses together. So the other thing that we've done is incorporate small business as part of our strategy on our strategic sourcing vehicles. So we often include tracks for small businesses, sometimes just for smalls, sometimes for the different categories of smalls. So that's one of the reasons we've been very successful. And then the other thing is we have small business specialists in every procurement component. They come together on a regular basis to think of ideas, to talk about procurements that are coming up. We include them in our planning conversations to talk about whether or not there's viability for small business or for a portion of the work to go to small business. So it's part of our language. It's part of our vernacular. That's why we've been successful. And I attribute that to the great men and women of DHS who are always positive and strong about the small businesses. We know they bring great ideas and they're the backbone of this country. Mm-hmm. So really excited about that.
Yeah, well, it's a great story and a great effort overall. And it sounds like it is truly is a collective effort across the enterprise at DHS to support small business.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So the next thing I wanted to talk a little bit about, and I think I teased it the last segment, is contract duplication. Mm-hmm. And I know that's something that, you know, if from my perspective, you know, we hear about it all the time from industry that there's too many contracts for the same or similar products or services across government as a whole. I just like to get your thoughts on that. I know DHS has also moved in the direction of, you know, sort of a shared services model by using some pre-existing contracts.
Exactly. So from when we stood up the department, we've always been open to the notion of partnering with other agencies and partnering across the department so that we're more efficient on how we buy and what we buy and to leverage our buying power, because frankly, that's what we should be doing in the federal government. We should be getting bang for the buck, as people like to say, right? Getting the best prices out there, right? So what we've tried to do is build our strategic sourcing program to be as efficient and effective as possible, dealing with our mission-specific needs, partnering with other fellow agencies that might buy similar things, but for the common services and goods, the what I call commercially available services and goods, we do look at the other vehicles that are out there. Now, let me qualify that for a moment. One size doesn't fit all.
That's true.
Okay? And I have great passion and commitment for avoiding duplication, but sometimes duplication may be necessary because we have agencies like ours that have very mission-specific needs, and we need what we need when we need it. When FEMA has to address a disaster, they can't wait in line for somebody to award an order. They got to get their stuff done.
Right.
So what we try to do is make sure that we have the vehicles that support our mission needs in place, and then we look at what is out there and how we can use them. And sometimes we go and negotiate with those agencies. So an example of that is recently I made the decision that we would not recompete our TABS procurement, mm-hmm. which was basically mission support services or acquisition-related mm-hmm. support services. We announced it 2 years in advance because we want industry to be ready and know about it.
Yeah.
And we made the decision that we would use OASIS because OASIS is a very similar vehicle and it does what we want. Now we've been working in partnership with GSA. We meet on a quarterly basis with industry to talk about what we're doing, how we're transitioning to OASIS, but more importantly, to make sure that GSA is thinking about the contractors that bring certain unique experiences from DHS and whether or not they're going to do an on-ramp mm-hmm. and those kinds of things. That's an example of that was a smart decision and the right decision to make. Now, that doesn't mean that decision will last forever. Maybe the need will come up later. So I think when we talk about duplication of effort, what I don't want people to do and what I don't want in my organization is that we forget the mission needs of the agency. We have to make the right decision at the right time. But certainly, we got to be more effective and efficient at buying. I don't want people running around here writing a bunch of IDIQ contracts when they could be placing orders and moving on to the more complex procurements. So that's where my thinking is on that. And I'm willing to make those tough decisions, and I'm willing to talk to industry about them. And I sometimes even get feedback from industry on some of these things, and some of them like my decisions, and some of them don't.
Right, I'm sure. Yeah, it's all about, it's all about markets and channels.
Exactly.
From industry perspective, but you hit on something I think is an interesting challenge. It's, you know,
it's the
like
right balance.
It's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, right? It's the porridge is too hot, too cold, just right. You know, what's the right mix of, and I think that's a big challenge for government generally. I've seen it my entire career is, what's smart duplication versus unnecessary duplication, and when do you it's so I don't know if you have any other thoughts on that, but it just strikes me that's the big sort of issue of how do you reach the right balance.
And, you know, and I don't want to sound bureaucratic when I say it's about a business case. It's about sitting with your customers and sitting with your team and saying, what makes sense? What do we need? Analyzing your spend. How are you buying right now? When we built our PACS procurement, professional, administrative, and technical and clerical services, it was based on analyzing our spend and realizing we buy a lot of this stuff in little 500,000 dollar orders and increments. Why don't we build a vehicle around that? Oh, and by the way, there are service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses that do this. A dime a dozen out there. Yeah. So let's compete it amongst them. So the idea is you kind of got to build a business case, but I'm not talking the bureaucratic business case. Right, I'm talking about the real business case, right?
Right.
Real people talking about real needs and how we're going to accomplish the job.
Right. It's substance versus process kind
exactly.
of thing. Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, you know, I have to, you know, we got a couple minutes left. And so I was just curious, you know, we worked at GSA at the same time, right? Went to FEI
together,
at the same time,
yeah.
right? And same group or
exactly.
pod or whatever they called
same
it.
Same team
the,
or
right?
whatever.
Yeah. Back, we won't say how long ago that was.
Yeah.
But so I just was curious, like, how did you get involved in government? It's always interesting to ask folks that. And, you know, here's many interesting stories.
Sure. So I actually started out as a clerk typist GS4 in the government, and it was a job.
Right.
That became a career. Now, I was no stranger to procurement because my father had spent like 39 years
right.
in the procurement business.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I kind of knew what it was. But I started out in construction contracting as a clerk typist. I liked what I was doing. And all of a sudden, I fell into career and I ended up working for Department of Navy. I worked in a program office as a contract specialist, Navy Diving and Salvage. I always remember, shout out to those guys. And that's where I picked up my passion for mission. And I have to say, I am very passionate about mission. I'm passionate about what I do. And from there, I was lucky enough to go back to GSA, to
yeah.
the Federal Acquisition yeah. Service. At that time, I think we called it Federal Supply Service.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Right? Remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then from there, I went to NASA. And it was at NASA where I became a supervisor in procurement and learned that I loved leading people and working with teams of people. And it was there that I met customers who invited me to join them at INS, Immigration and Naturalization Service, in the IT side. That's when
uh-huh.
I became a program manager. And I did that for several years, and that led to me having a stint even in the finance office. So I've done software deployments, and I've worked in IT. So I understand the world. But I always come back to procurement because I think people don't really get us. They don't understand. Sometimes they see us as paper pushers.
Right.
And we're not.
Right.
When
yeah.
we're effective and we're efficient, we can be the best business advisor. We can be your best
right.
partner. Luke McCormick, our chief information officer, often teases because he and I have formed a strong alliance and a strong partnership. Because look, we got to get our IT delivered much, much faster. We can't deal with the threats we confront.
Right.
If we're in these 9 to 12 month stints,
right.
we got to get software delivered quickly. We got to get solutions delivered quickly.
Right.
And this is across the spectrum. So that's kind of how I
yeah.
fell into it. I love what I do. I've been at it for 35 years. And my husband teases me because every now and then I say, okay, soon I'm going to retire. And he goes, yeah, right.
Right.
Because I do. I love what I do and I enjoy it. And I'm going to be doing this to try to affect change, to affect you know,
right.
change in the way people see us, the way we do our job. I want us to be the best. I think our government deserves the best. I'm very passionate about my government service. And
well,
I
it's just, you know, and we're, yeah, we're, but I, what I will say when is that there is something, you know, there is something special about, you know, serving in government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, regardless, there's a reward that people can achieve from it about
yes.
how they feel about themselves and about their country that, you know, is, you know, this is special. So thank you for all that you've
thank
done.
You
we really appreciate
me.
It.
Thank
and
you for having me here.
I want to thank my guest today, Soraya Correa. She is a Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Homeland Security, and you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.